Thanks, team. I go to Temple University part-time, and one of the deal with taking a language class is you have to take the language lab, I guess. And my Spanish lab instructor polled us the other day, the 15 kids or something in my class, to ask which one of us had made our beds that morning. And by some miracle, I was one of the ones who had made the bed. But it was really, I had to confess, only because I was at somebody else's house. And that didn't feel great at first. And then he said, if you don't make your bed, then you don't know how much else throughout the day you might not accomplish. And I was like, who are you, Yoda? You know what I mean? Like, where do you get this, like, quasi-wisdom from? But I guess it could be okay. But it made me just think about how, I mean, this is how I go to school, you know, weird stuff happens. I try to be like, all right, well, what in there is, like, not that weird that I can actually, you know, I'm paying a couple grand or whatever. So, like, what can I internalize here and how can I receive from this instructor who's way out of his element at this point? Anyway, it got me thinking, how am I starting off the day? And I kind of have had to do a lot of struggling through beginnings of days. Maybe you too. Looking around, I think most of us drink coffee or some kind of like stimulant in the morning. You know, that kind of stuff is normal. So I'm kind of presuming that most of us struggle with that. But I want to do something that's a little weird. I want to pull us, but instead of raising hands or making noise with our mouths, I just want to just do like foot stomping, because you've probably noticed that during our worship time together that the way that our floors are laid, when you stomp your feet on them, it's really interesting. And so I want to take advantage of this space while we have it. So demonstrate a yes or an affirmative response to the following questions by the pitter-patter of your little tootsies. First, who woke up this morning really chipper, like in the way like your head just couldn't wait to jump off that pillow? I love you people. Please, let's hang out after this. I know that I want to hang out with you. But likely if I said after the meeting, you'd be like, I would, but I got to go to bed, you know, so I can be chipper. Yeah. How many use an alarm to wake up today, right? How many people hit one snooze? How many two snoozes? How many more than two snoozes? Today. Yeah, we can't average it out. What is yesterday is yesterday, just today. All right, we're almost done. Who had a kid or a pet or a spouse wake them up before it was a good time to wake up? You poor people. Maybe you're feeling bad for each other, but I feel bad for you already. And lastly, who got out of bed basically because they had to? There was some demand. You can stomp while I talk. There's something was scheduled, an appointment had to be made, or like a task needed to be done. And that's like what you got out of bed doing. Humor me. That's like everybody. It's kind of too bad sometimes, right? Like when we wake up and we get going, we're already sort of stressed out, or we can already feel deprived of, like, I didn't get what I was supposed to get already. I've been interrupted in a bad way. You know, that colors the way that we live. And if we wake up in the kind of feeling in the scarcity every day, I think that's kind of normal. What our opportunity with this Jesus thing is to make a concerted effort towards life, even as we're getting up. So when we make space for Jesus, this is the point of my talk here, Jesus is going to show up, but not how we expect. So, and here's how to do this storm talk this week, and maybe in a couple bad ways, and I hope in a good way. People are, you know, it's raining already, or it was a half hour ago. So the storm, for those of you who doubted it's coming, here it is, rain. You at least got that, right? Our economic system is dependent on whether people buy lots of stuff. If you don't do it, it's bad for the current economic system. If you do, it's great. So anytime there's something that comes up, it's a good occasion to go buy a bunch of stuff, right? So how many people have, like, I don't want to really know, this is rhetorical, but how many people were in the, like, stores where they sell batteries and duct tape in the last couple of days, right? Or food. And it just becomes kind of like wildness all of a sudden of what are we going to do? And some of us just get into totally resistance of that. When Amanda was talking earlier, that resonated because that's kind of how I am a lot of times. If other people start getting freaked out, that's when I go like way lucid and like just way cool. Like, don't worry. You know, if everyone's going to spaz out, like the last thing I want to do is be like them. But you could go into this week in such that kind of lucid, cool resistance of the fact that people are spazzing out, and it may be for good reason or maybe not. Or you could just get so spazzy that you miss this opportunity to be awed by God. Another scenario is you might forget that while hurricanes are usually not a big deal in non-Manayunk Philadelphia, realistically, 65 people already have died due to this storm. And that's, I know I shouldn't say something super serious after like something that's like a joke, but the storm is real. And whether or not, I think sometimes in Philadelphia where we don't get nice weather, but we don't get really jacked up weather, and we don't usually have earthquakes and, plagues and things like that. But you could experience some grief about that, and you could experience some gratitude that you're probably going to be okay. And that might be a good way to start processing it towards this moving into a space where we could be quiet enough to be in awe of God. And lastly, this whole thing is kind of, that I'm making this point, is you could miss the moment of awe. With this media blitz and everything that's happening, one thing to just acknowledge is this week will not be like last week. And that's good. Today is not going to be like yesterday. That kind of just thinking about the universe with a presence of mind. But it is an opportunity to first of all connect with other people, because people are helping each other out in some different ways outside of the lines and the stores, but people in the neighborhood or your friends, people are throwing little storm parties and get-togethers and battery co-ops and all that stuff. It's an opportunity to get quieted into awe and how Jesus might move in this interesting situation where there's no school tomorrow. Temple's closed Monday and Tuesday. Some of us are, well, me, I'm happy about that. But this is the kind of deal that Maya Angelou's trying to get us going to. And there's this one has some, this little passage from her, one, my favorite poem of hers, has some vocab that I just defined at the bottom. So you can read along or just listen to this and see if it's not describing some of these temptations to stay towards our desperation instead of moving towards this this awe in God. When we come to it, we, this people, on this minuscule and kithless globe, who reach daily for the bomb, the blade, and the dagger, yet who petition in the dark for tokens of peace, we, this people on this mote of matter, in whose mouths abide cankerous words which challenge our very existence, yet out of those same mouths come songs of such exquisite sweetness that the heart falters in its labor and the body is quieted into awe. Now, most of us aren't going to begin our days so depraved, but some of us do feel like that. But even if you don't feel so, like if you don't relate totally to the beginning there, you can see, I hope, the movement in this drama that she's unfolding. We may not feel like we have access to the tools of destruction to solve our problems, but even with our fight or flight instincts, we still find a way to be moved and find a way to be beautiful. It's one of the things about our humanity is that it's so complex. We do the most jacked up things one moment and do something incredible the next. You know, and that is can be tragic, that can be astounding. But one thing that it is definitely is it's very appealing for God, that kind of humanity like that, so much that God decided to become human and experience that humanity. When Jesus got bound in flesh, or incarnated, as we say in theological terms, when God became one human person, Jesus was showing up and showing us how to be quiet into awe, and not only as the antidote to our chaos, but to demonstrate this accessibility to God. And I want to use this other, it's another aquatic adventure of Jesus to kind of show how Jesus shows up into that disparity, into that chaos, and how we can be quieted into awe and in a way that restores us. So here's from Matthew chapter 14. I like the way Matthew tells this story that you may have heard before, and I'll read it, and you can read along if you like. And we'll try to sort of reframe it and see if we don't hear something new, rather than just the sort of, you know, cartoon version that you may recall. Starting with verse 22. Right then, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he dismissed the crowds. And when he sent them away, he went up onto a mountain by himself to pray. Evening came and he was alone. Meanwhile, the boat, fighting a strong headwind, was being battered by the waves and was already far from land. Very early in the morning, he came to his disciples walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They were so frightened, they screamed. I guess it's sort of like insinuated. Eh. Just then, Jesus spoke to them, "Be encouraged. It's me. Don't be afraid." And Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, order me to come out to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind, he became frightened. As he began to sink, he shouted, "Lord, rescue me." Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him, saying, "You man of weak faith, why did you begin to have doubts?" When they got into the boat, the wind settled down. And those in the boat worshipped Jesus and said, "You must be God's son." So the story seems maybe a little straightforward. It seems, you know, it's pretty wild. There's been many an attempt at people to walk on water, different inventions and things like that. And walking on water becomes like the important part, where Jesus has this supernatural ability. He walks on water. Maybe you too would have supernatural ability one day, or maybe you don't think of it like this, but I think a lot of us do. And if you try to demonstrate supernatural ability, you will surely fail. Jesus will help you but make fun of you, and then the storm is over. Yeah. And it's a shame that we might be looking for Jesus to be so so mean. But I want to try to get away from the meanness and try to reframe this story that makes it kind of new. And the seven lessons that I think to learn, and they're all just a sentence or two. But I want to offer, only words can only go so far, but I want to offer some images too that help us to maybe get into this story as maybe God might use it in a new way for us. So the first one is that when Jesus gives us instructions, that doesn't mean that we won't be in danger. And Jesus is often in the danger too. So they're gonna help, these images, I hope, will be helpful to help us understand these things. And it's going to happen fast. This is my favorite one, though. And all others are just an excuse to show this dog looking like a human. The second thing is that our hardship makes us long for God. And John the Baptist had just died. Jesus went to be alone, and the disciples were up all night being stressed out. That kind of dealing with stress is totally normal, and it happens. And the thing that Jesus does is he shows up in our mess, usually in unexpected ways that are not all about us. This is from the movie Ghost, in case you didn't get the ghost connection, but rest in peace, Patrick Swayze. But the ways Jesus shows up are not all about us. It's not in a way that we even want or that we hope for sometimes. Jesus is bigger and is in larger danger than us and risks everything to come and be with us. The next is a recap of lesson one. When Jesus gives us instructions, we usually are going to be in danger. Calling out to God when we're afraid is natural and good. We don't really know what's going on after all. I think sometimes we think that when the Holy Spirit's moving and we have a hunch and we're going to try to go with it, that that means that we're like capable of people again. And that's a big mistake that we delude ourselves with. We don't really know what we're doing. We have a good idea and we're going to try it out together. And also, this guy's trying to drink water, if you're wondering. And for you hockey fans, this is maybe a little bit tormenting, but I love the guy's face. We don't really know what we're doing. And when we doubt, or at least we begin to doubt, Jesus affects the world. To worship Jesus sometimes is to be quieted enough to be in awe, to understand that worshiping Jesus is so natural for us, and that even when we're in this sort of raw space, it's a completely natural thing to do, to cry out and be embraced by Jesus. So I hope the pictures weren't too distracting, that you could actually get the story, the you know, Jesus coming into these chaotic situations. Sometimes we think, oh, good, Jesus is here. The chaos is over. And these stories in the scripture are not like that. Your life would validate a different narrative. Jesus coming into the chaos doesn't mean that it's just all over and you feel better about everything. Jesus is here, and that's good news. And Jesus is going to lead us to a better way, but we're gonna get banged up. You're already banged up, and it's funny when we get surprised that it's hard, or when we don't want to ask others for help, or we don't want to ask God for help, because we need Jesus and we need each other. So here's just two little things about how I think we're getting quieted into awe has looked like for me anyway. Over the past few weeks, there was one of the lessons I've been trying to learn from this sabbatical that I took a few months ago, was how to wake up well. And for me, I'm so tempted to wake up and automatically start calculating what I needed to do, what needs to get done this week, what did I forget about, did I oversleep too much, you know. I'm trying to organize things, you know. I'm hearing somebody yelling at me or something like that, and they're oftentimes 8 years old, and you know, what is how do I deal with this moment, and it's a crisis already. One of the things that I've been trying to learn is how to not just get into the crisis, but how to wake up and spend time, what I call for myself, being in love with Jesus. How to wake up and the first thoughts are not about what I'm going to do, the first thoughts aren't about what kind of suffering I'm about to undertake, but it's about how in love with Jesus I am and what God has been doing. And even if that is only sometimes 30 seconds long, you know, it doesn't always require the 10 hours, you know, but 30 seconds can go a long way of just coloring your day and offering the colors you're going to use are, I am in love with Jesus. And I get tested often of how to not wake up and start doing things, or how to not wake up and start planning. But that's the other, you know, a few days ago or whatever, when I woke up, I felt myself being pulled into what I would call like the old way, although I have a lot of old ways. And I stopped myself from going there. I said, no, I'm going to be in love with Jesus today. And that's a discipline, and it takes, I've been working on it for a couple months intensely, and it's difficult. The other thing I wanted to talk about is a little bit maybe more unusual, but it's how loud leaves falling can be. You've noticed that Pennsylvania is in autumn, is like one of the most beautiful places on the planet. And this is something I hope you feel good about, because honestly, the weather here is so bad most of the time, and we find so many ways to complain. But when it comes down to these couple weeks here where the leaves are changing and falling off, like, I'm telling you, it's glorious. And I got to go in different parts of Pennsylvania this week, including Philadelphia, and observe the leaves. I was sitting in a tree for about 7 hours Thursday and Friday, watching leaves. Some people call that bow hunting. I was sitting there watching leaves is all I was doing, really, you know what I mean? And not being able to get up or make any noise. But through this process, I noticed how loud leaves could be. And it's so weird because, you know, people who live on farm, I was in this farm, and there are 50 acres of forest in southern Lancaster County. Now, you know, people who live in the country say how loud it is in the city, right? Lancaster County is mad loud. Okay, I'm sitting there, and first of all, there's these crickets, and over the crickets are these cicadas, and it's all throughout the forest. It's just like a constant wash of these beasts calling out, right? And then I'm on like a dairy farm with 90 cows, and they talk to each other all the time, and they make noises like I don't know what the deal with the Lancaster cows are, but like they make these noises that are so weird and sometimes, you know, confusing. I think there are other things. You got the cows going, and then you have the Amish men on the adjacent farm using a corn picker that's motorized, but it's horse-drawn, and they're working out some of those tensions. But it's like, that's loud, you know? And then there's tractors moving around. And then the loudest thing of all are these leaves that keep falling. And at some point, I'm like, you know, dazzled and like beautiful. And after a couple hours, it starts to be like, I want some like earplugs from these leaves, man. They're so loud. And it's like, you know, and the thing is, you know, you might be thinking like, yeah, you sit in the country and things that aren't loud seem loud. I don't think that's the case. I think I changed. You know, there was plenty of loud stuff, but I was paying attention to them. And I was paying attention to them so much that, like, it was astounding, the awe that came from being quiet and watching them and making that kind of space amplified what they were doing. And those of you who have been working on interior lives lately, the same is true with relating to God. God seems kind of hard to hear. And when you get really into it, when you make this space to be quiet or to be in awe, it gets really loud. And sometimes, like, even a little bit annoyingly loud. Like, I would like to do something else, and instead I'm dealing with God all the time. I'm dealing with creation all the time. I'm dealing with the body of Christ all the time. And it's a good way to deal with daily life, is to find that space where you become changed. Now, sometimes we're going to be able to quiet ourselves, and other times you're going to have to be quieted. I mean, you remember being a child if you don't have parents. Sometimes they're just quiet. Other times you have to make them quiet. You know, and that's a lesson to learn. But as adults, especially when relating to the Creator, we got to learn how to quiet ourselves down so that we can experience this awe, so that our chaos isn't so powerful anymore. So that our despair isn't so potent, so that our discouragement isn't the way that we're seeing the world all the time, but this awe and this love of Jesus. Because Jesus is going to meet us in our rawness, inside these storms that, by the way, Jesus is, while we're in a boat being afraid, Jesus is walking through tidal waves and stuff like that. He's in a way more jacked up spot than we are. Jesus is going to meet us in our fear and meet us in our doubt. You don't have to have that figured out yet to get Jesus in there. But we need to quiet ourselves so that we can experience this awe. You don't want to try to expect too much how Jesus is going to show up, But it's good to go ahead and call out to God and see how the Holy Spirit responds and share that story with each other like we were doing at the beginning of this meeting. It teaches us how to sense God. It might take a while for our chaos to get the volume turned down and get the resistance and the restoration of God turned up. It's a worthy undertaking. You're surrounded with others who are trying to respond to Jesus too. So grow one another in hope and grow in your faith, because Jesus is on the way and Jesus is already here. Let's be quiet for a moment and then we'll have some time if you want to respond with some of your own ideas or stories.